Karen Hansen-Kuhn, thank you very much for joining us this week on Counterspin.
All right. Thank you.
And that's it for this week on Counterspin. Counterspin is produced by FAIR, the National Media Watch Group based in New York. The show is engineered by Alex Noyes. I'm Janine Jackson. Thanks for listening to Counterspin.
That was Counterspin. It is now time for the show, formerly known as Say Hey, now known as Talking About Practice. So we're going to go ahead and get into that. It is 5:30 p.m. on a Monday evening, July 25th, 2016. And we're going to get into Chico's only locally produced sports talk show.
Not a game, not a game, not a game. We talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that, man? We talking about practice. Talking about practice, man.
I love that reggae horn so much. It makes me very, very happy. It's your boy, Jerome Gilbert, in the building right now. This is Talking About Practice. If you didn't gather that from the intro, that is the name of the new show. I want to thank DJ PHG and our GM here at 90.1 KZFR, Rick, for the great suggestion. Absolutely phenomenal name for the show. Really nails what we're trying to do. Mr. Jordan Booth, a.k.a. DJ J-Pounds from BYOB. If you don't know, you won't know.
Yowza, yowza, yowza. What's up, y'all?
He just walked in the building.
Man, sweating, man.
It is. Man, you look drenched, bro.
Right? I'm telling you, bro. It was a rough day. I'm here now, y'all, man. What's up? Sorry for my tardiness.
Yeah, you're good, man. You're good. Running on CPT.
That's right, man. CPT.
It's
DPT over here.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So, yo, a lot to get into. Maybe let's start with some baseball.
Baseball.
Chris Sale of the Chicago White. Well, first and foremost, sorry, I'm just jumping into the show. I'm very excited to do this, as I am every Monday.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But thank you for being here, man.
Oh,
how
yeah, all day, bro. Family, man.
I appreciate
man.
You,
family,
man.
Man.
I appreciate,
yeah, appreciate you.
Appreciate you
too, bro.
Well, everything good?
Yeah, everything's good, man. I was hooping. That's why I was late.
I got you.
Yeah, I was hooping. Finished. We just lost, man. A nail biter.
15-14.
Right at like 5:23.
You were
like,
over at the rec?
Yeah.
I got you.
Mm.
Yeah, those games can get a little intense. You don't want to leave too early. I feel it.
I made my way over here. Dude was in front of me was driving dumb slow, though. I could have made it. I could have made it right on time. But
you're you know, good, man. You're
we're,
good.
We're here now. So
you were here
good.
For the intro. We're all good.
Yep.
All right, so let's get into this. So we're going to start with baseball. Chris Sale from the Chicago White Sox. Man, what a story. Have you read about this at all?
He's a kid, bro.
Bro. So, for those of you who don't know, and again, if you don't know, you won't know, BYOB Radio every Thursday night.
Hey, you
midnight.
Like that, huh?
I love it, man. I wish I thought of it. I'm a little jealous. Yeah,
shout out to Uncle Snoop, man. Uncle Snoop gave me that one.
So, Chris Sale of the Chicago White Sox, he's a starting pitcher. He had a little bit of an incident this weekend.
Wardrobe malfunction.
A wardrobe malfunction of the highest order. So he is a starting pitcher. He makes $9.25 million a year, which is about $9.25 million more than Jordan and I combined make a year.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a little bit of an issue with the throwback jerseys they were going to wear during his start. I believe on Saturday. I want to say it was.
It was one of these last couple of days.
Yeah. So they were.
I just picked up the story today. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I caught the tail end of it yesterday, and then just this morning, it was all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what happened is the Chicago White Sox They wear throwback uniforms, as every team in the majors does. Every team has an alternative jersey. Every team has some sort of throwback. And so no different. The Chicago White Sox have some throwbacks because they've been around a while. And Chris Sale, not a huge fan of the throwback jerseys.
Not a fan at all of the throwback.
And he took it to the extreme. He not only refused to wear the throwback, which is one thing entirely, especially when you're a coddled millionaire. Mm-hmm. But he then took it to the next level and not only destroyed his own jersey, but went through the locker room shredding other people's jerseys. Just absolutely unbelievable. Thank you for turning the flash recorder on.
Yeah, I just thought about it. I was like, yeah, this would probably be good.
Yeah, yeah. So Chris Sale went around and not only destroyed his own throwback uniform, but the rest of the team. So the team was scheduled to wear the throwbacks on Saturday, and they had to reschedule because no players had a jersey to wear. Mm-hmm. So there's many, many levels to this, and I think it's all hilarious. But where do you want to start with this? What was your first impression? You said you just got the story today. What was your first impression?
I looked at the story pretty in-depth. I was looking at a whole bunch of different sports shows this morning, and they were just talking about, well, usually it's, I guess it's like an unwritten baseball rule. The starting pitcher always has, like, the final say over what the team wears.
Yeah.
And I guess the uniform was made of, like, wool or cotton.
Yeah.
Which he already didn't like, and then he didn't like the way it looked, I guess. So, and they picked it without his decision, without his, like, final say. So,
sure.
So that's an issue. But at the same time, like, just say you don't want to wear it. Don't cut up everybody else's jersey. Like,
right.
Like, that's super childish.
It's very childish. Now, Chris Sale has had several incidents like this. When Adam LaRoche, you guys may remember the story. I know Jake talked about it a bunch this summer with Noobs. Adam LaRoche, actually, we talked about it because we're filling in for Jake. Adam LaRoche was a former Chicago White Sox player, and he decided to essentially retire this year because management came down and said, no more having your kid in the locker room. Apparently, the kid had his own locker in the locker room and was just around enough that it became a distraction for the team, or, you know, at least according to management. And they thought they had needed to draw a line and set a precedent and ban his kid from being in the locker room. Chris Sale then decided to cuss out his general manager and the manager of the team in front, while cameras were rolling, so in front of everyone, decided to just go off and cuss him out. And so I'm just bringing this story up because it does lay some foundation as to
his character flaws, yeah.
Yeah, this isn't the first time he's done something fairly childish. But I thought this was a whole another, this is next level childish, which in one regard, I am so, so very thankful because it's July and there is not a whole lot going on.
That's true.
So I'm not mad at Chris Sale for giving us, you know, a good 15 minutes here of something to start the show off with. On the other hand, I'm just thinking about this. I try to separate myself. So I try to think about it when I played different sports teams, football, basketball, whatever. How I would react if a player did this. Now, granted, obviously, never made millions of dollars playing, but, you know, it's an incredibly selfish move, right? That, I think that kind of goes without saying.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
But to start off, just, I understand, I don't even necessarily understand refusing to wear it yourself completely. I understand voicing your frustration, or, you know, saying, hey, I'm not down with this, whatever, can we work something out? And trying to work with the team and, you know, make sure that you don't have to wear those uniforms during your start. You know, you only start once every five games as a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
So I understand trying to work something out. And to a certain extent, I guess I understand wanting to destroy your own jersey. Like, okay, you can't make me wear it. I don't even have one.
You're more sympathetic than me.
I mean, even I think that's ridiculous.
He should have just been like, I just don't want to, like, he should have just been like, I can't pitch.
Yeah, I'm not going to pitch.
Yeah, I'm not going to pitch. Like, he could have just made it simple like that.
Yeah, I'll pitch Sunday.
Yeah, I'll pitch the next time.
Sure.
It's my turn.
And I agree. Yeah. That would have been even still, we're still talking about very childish behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But, you know, some athletes like LeBron, for example, has ripped the sleeves off those hideous Adidas basketball jerseys.
Those are tight.
I hate them.
Those are tight.
Oh, I hate them. I hate them.
Those are so tight.
I hate wearing sleeves when I hoop.
I'm about to cop a Kyrie Irving real soon.
Oh, God, you would.
I hope they have Olympic sleeve ones. I cop one of those,
I'm
too.
So surprised you're in support of them. I hate them.
Who, the sleeves?
Yeah.
I don't support them on the basketball court. I support them out.
Yeah, okay.
Like, if I was in the club, like, hell yeah, I would have a LeBron sleeve shirt on. That shit is fresh.
Okay, I could see people out and about wearing it, you know, like the consumer.
But on the court, it just seems like it'd be really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very, very hot.
Mm-hmm, that's what I would think.
But not a big fan.
Yeah, but it looks cool, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it looks good for the consumer. But anyway, you know, he ripped the sleeves off and he's complained about them. And during the finals, they gave him a custom made. They fit LeBron's shoulders in them because he has beastly shoulders.
He does.
And they fit his shoulders into it, you know, made him a custom thing. But, you know, though he ripped off the sleeves of his jersey, it's not as if he went around ripping the sleeves off every jersey of every uniform. Mm-hmm. This is just ridiculous behavior.
Yeah.
And if I'm his teammate, I'm thinking, what's your problem, man?
Yeah, but you're not going to say nothing. Because money is power in any industry.
Understood.
And he makes, you said, what, $9.5 million a year?
Yeah.
So he probably one of the highest paid players on that team.
Right.
And when he cussed out the manager, is the same manager he cussed out still the manager?
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. You know, like any player not worth anything like that would have been cut, traded, whatever. But obviously, he's nice. Like, he's a good pitcher. He's a really good pitcher.
Yeah, he's very good.
Yeah,
right.
So, I mean, it comes down to power, money, and respect. You know, you respect his game. You paid him all that money because you respect his game. You can't just – you made an investment now.
Right.
You have to ride with him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately. And that makes people immature.
But you don't think anyone in that locker room is going to step up and say, hey, man, come on, buddy.
Maybe a veteran. That's what you have veterans for. That's what you have.
Absolutely.
People who aren't worried about their next day because he's like, you know what, at this point, I've been here so long, I'm just so happy to be here.
Right.
And you're like, that's what veterans are for. But if you don't have anybody like that on your team, who's going to say a two-year, second-year player is going to come up to a $9.5 million earning player?
Yeah.
On his rookie deal still?
Yeah, no, that probably won't happen.
Yeah, that'll never happen. So it's all about the leadership built into your team, and obviously that team has no leadership.
Yeah, I mean, it's clear that there is a lack of leadership because this just doesn't happen, or it definitely doesn't get leaked, right?
Yeah, for sure.
These things on teams with perhaps more veteran leadership, at the very least, it's not getting out to the public in this manner. And, so I agree with you. I think it's funny, first of all. I do think it's hilarious.
Yeah, it is funny.
I think I would be really frustrated if I was a teammate of his just because, again, you're putting yourself in your own, you know, wants, desires, and your selfish needs above the teams, you know? And maybe half the team feels the same way, and these jerseys are ugly, but it sets a terrible precedent for the way a big leaguer should behave. And like you said, based on the fact that he is a good pitcher, he's obviously one of their best five because he's a starting pitcher, and he's making, you know, a good amount of money every year. It does make it, I don't want to say it makes him untouchable, but it makes it a tenuous situation where it's a little harder to address than if he was a rookie or something like that. So
I mean, like a star, like he's a star. He's not a megastar, but he's a star. So it's like, if you get rid of him, if you just want to, you know, make that stand, like, we're not about this, it's not what we support as a team, like, great, that's fine. But you're going to release him, and another team is going to pick him up, and he's going to come back and strike everybody out the next time you guys play him, and you're going to be like, damn.
Yep.
And we still got to pay him his money.
I know there's no apples-to-apples comparison, but I heard someone talking about this on the radio, and I thought it was interesting, maybe spend a minute or two on it. But they started talking about the components of race, and with everything going on, I know we're going to get into what Jordan did a little bit later in the show. With everything going on, I thought maybe it'd be interesting to touch on it for a minute. I was listening to Dan Lebertard's show this morning on my way into work, and Stu Gotts brought up this interesting point, and he just said, what if it were Cam Newton?
Oh,
it would be the end of the world,
man. Yeah,
it would
be a post-apocalypse.
Yeah, and I don't think that's entirely about race, you know. But I would say it's mainly about race.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I feel like that's like saying the whole like thing with cops killing like people, and it's not just black people.
No,
but it's not white people in most cases. I mean, it is, and they're definitely like undocumented and unpublicized cases where white people are killed by the police. But
we had it happen in Paradise last year.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm definitely not saying that other races don't, you know, witness and serve these injustices. But at the end of the day, like, there's a reason things happen the way they happen.
Right.
and is an elephant in the room, and a lot of people are just too scared to attack it.
Agreed. Yeah.
And you know, that's what it is. Obviously, you know what it is. I'm not going to say what it is. So, if you want to keep living in the dark, then keep living in the dark. But if you want to come to the light and see what it really is, open your eyes.
Yeah, I mean, that is a choice you have. This is America. Yeah. You could choose to see it or not. Mm-hmm. But I do think it would be interesting. I believe Amin El Hassan was on with Stu Gotts today on ESPN Radio. And Amin El Hassan brought up, you know, what if it was keeping it in the same sport? What if it was Yasiel Puig from...
I've seen that comparison.
Yeah, and I think that would be made a way bigger deal, too. I think Chris Sale, for whatever reason, is getting kind of a pass for acting like a baby. Now, to be fair, the Chicago White Sox, decided to suspend him for his next two starts. So, the team's taking it serious. I just think the way it's been covered on ESPN specifically, because that's what I've been paying attention to. I just think it would have been made such a bigger deal if this athlete were a minority, or if he was just, you know, a bigger personality, you know, if he was more of a polarizing figure, like a LeBron, like a Yasiel Puig, like a Cam
Newton.
All
these people you're naming are black.
Yeah.
Not even like in a racism way, like positively towards black people, but a lot of the most polarizing figures in entertainment, sports, everything are black people.
Agreed. Agreed. And this is a conversation that we could spend hours on.
Yeah, no, for sure. So it's like, it's a tough situation. I'm not saying that he is getting it by strictly because...
Sure. I don't think either one of us are saying that.
I think it would definitely be a different situation if he was African-American.
I do too. If he was African-American or if he was Cuban, any type of minority, I think we're looking at this a bit different. And it's impossible to say without having this exact same situation play out in the exact same way.
And that's the main argument that the people who make the decisions have, is that there is no apples to apples
comparison. Right.
Every person is not the same. Every situation is not the same, even if it is the same.
Right. But let's just, for one second, while we're talking about it, let's take a look at the way we dissected Cam Newton just walking out of a press conference. Okay. On the one hand, absolutely. After the Super Bowl, he should have stayed there. He should have filled with the questions. The question he was being asked when he got up and walked out was a ridiculous question. Mm-hmm. Not to mention, they had the Denver Broncos defensive players in the room right next to him. He could hear the questions they were being asked. They're asking them, how you shut down Cam Newton. So it was a circus to begin with. But the way people were talking about him was basically, boy, you should know your role. You had all this trash talk before the... You know, you had all this bravado before the Super Bowl, and now you're walking out and you're being immature. This goes way, 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 way above and beyond walking out of a press conference. You're destroying your team's clothing, your uniforms, without their knowledge, without consent from, as far as we know, it doesn't sound like any other players were involved saying, go ahead.
Like, it's a team thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting the way we cover some of these athletes, and it's interesting that the role that that race does or potentially could play when we cover these guys. But again, there is no apples to apples comparison, and I think we'll start to spin our wheels if we kind of look for one here.
Impossible to do.
Yeah, and I definitely don't want to create a straw man argument. So we'll move on. Real briefly, I just wanted to get to some newsy articles while we're talking baseball. The Giants have been absolutely garbage on the road. I believe they've lost 7 in a row now. They had the series with the Red Sox, and then they went and played the Yankees, and they have yet to find a win. Their bullpen has been absolutely terrible, and they just look lost. And I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Noobs mentioned this a couple weeks ago, lamenting his hatred for interleague play, and after the past week and a half, I'm with you, Noobs. This has been rough for the Giants. The Giants, however, still have, I believe, a 3-game lead on the Dodgers. I would need to double check that, but they still lead in the 3-game lead in the NL West. So they're still sitting in a decent position because they're sitting in first place, but they have the Dodgers on their heels with 3 games back, even though it looks like they may be shutting down Kershaw. And so we'll see what happens there.
The Dodgers are going to flop.
Yeah, I hope so.
They always flop.
I really hope so. I love that they have the highest payroll.
Mm-hmm. And they always flop.
Yep, I love it.
Towards the end, they're like, oh, are they going to make it to the playoffs? Nope.
Nope, yeah. Or yeah. In the playoffs, yeah. You know, are they going straight to the World Series? Nope.
First round.
Yeah, love it. So hopefully that trend continues. Hopefully the Giants can turn it around. I'm actually going to reach out to Jake to see if he could get on the show next week because the trade deadline's right around the corner. Speaking of the trade deadline in Major League Baseball, the Cubs sign away Aroldis Chapman from the Yankees, which is interesting.
That's big.
That's huge.
Yeah,
that is huge. That. The Cubs started off on fire this season. People were talking about, are they going to break the all-time wins record, which I don't even know what that is in Major League Baseball. But they're talking about them getting 120-plus wins and this and that. And now it looks like, I mean, they still have the most wins in the National League, I believe in all of baseball. And they're still in first place in the Central Division, but they needed some help. Arrieta has been getting knocked around a bit lately, and Aroldis Chapman will really help shore up that bullpen.
Mm-hmm. That's probably one of the best relieving pitches in baseball right now.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who throws 105 miles per hour.
Yeah, I was reading a little stat that said, like, the top 30 hardest pitches in baseball, and he has, like, all 30.
Of them. Yeah.
And they're all, like, at 106.
Yeah, so. he throws regularly 100 miles and up, which is stupid, and anyone who's ever stood in the box with a 90-mile-an-hour baseball coming at you, 100 miles an hour looks completely different. Mm-hmm. I was actually just watching with the lovely Amy's brother yesterday. I was watching a special on Netflix called Fastball or something like that, and they were talking about the difference between 92 miles an hour and 100 miles an hour, and I would recommend anyone who's really into baseball, check that out. But it's night and day, and this guy's throwing... He's thrown the fastest pitch in baseball history, 105.1
miles. Video game numbers.
It's stupid. Yeah. So that happened for the Cubs. So that definitely makes them more of a contender and makes this final push. We still have about a half season left of baseball. But it's going to make, you know, the end of July, August, and September a lot more interesting with these division leaders as they all vie for playoff positions. And we'll see how that all shakes out. But, my man, you and I are both huge hoop heads. Shall we talk some basketball?
Yeah.
All right. I have a classic drop here. Let's get into this, and then we'll discuss some hoop. You want to listen how hip hop changed? Let's just wait for this first verse.
Yeah. First flow. Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way to dribble up and down the court. Just like I'm the king on the microphone. So it's Dr. J and Moses Malone. I like slam dunks, taking it to the hoop. My favorite play is the alley. Ooh, I like the pick.
Yeah, so that was hip hop and the early 80s, late 70s?
Curtis Blow, yeah, like late 80s.
Yeah, that was a long time ago regardless. Yeah. It was before we were bumping hip-hop. I know that much.
Oh, yeah, I was bumping hip-hop in the womb, though.
Yeah, no doubt. I grew up on hip-hop, but still, that is sounds a little different than Kendrick Lamar, let's say. But a lot of stuff going on in hoop, even though the season just ended, and free agency, don't want to say it's over, but it's essentially all the major moves have been dead or done by now. But I wanted to revisit some things because last time you were on, I believe it was the 4th of July, the date KD decided he's going to join with the Golden State Warriors. And a lot's happened since then, and I would love to get your feedback on this. So one thing that came out was KD came out and basically said that the 2 days following his decision to join the Golden State Warriors, he didn't go outside. He just stayed in bed. I'm paraphrasing here.
For sure.
But he basically said he was afraid that if he went outside, someone might hit him with his car. I know that's a direct quote, or say something negative to him. And I just wanted to get your take. I know you've heard that before. I just wanted to get when you first heard this, what was your first thought, your first reaction?
I mean, you like in hindsight, because I mean, was on the show last time, it was pretty like it was the day it happened.
It just happened hours before we did the show.
Now looking back in hindsight, you know what? He has completely 100% right to make whatever decision he feels fit for him. So everything I said, I kind of don't mean anymore. Like, I was just frustrated because, like, come on, man. Like, he's such a good player. Yeah. Just, like, you know, like, make your own legacy. Like, Jordan wouldn't have been Jordan if he played with Patrick Ewing, you know?
Yeah.
Like these the great our greats wouldn't be the greats if they played with other greats. So I just felt like he is a great player, and he could have been that. So
I mean, you argued, you came over to the TV station, and you were on Roe and Izzo, and you argued that KD was the best player in the league right now.
Yeah.
And I think him, Steph, and LeBron, I think LeBron right now is number 1A, and then KD and Steph are right there too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, this does, in that sense, it's just different than it was in Jordan's era.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think LeBron is a big, I don't know if the word blame or credit is the right word to assess to the situation, but you would, since his decision to go to Miami,
it's happened a lot more.
Things have changed where it doesn't have the same stigma it once did. And it's AAU basketball has done a lot for that. You know, these superstars are now playing with each other and know each other since they're 15, 16, 17 years old. And so they're going into the league already having camaraderie. They're not going into the league necessarily as competitors or not opponents. They're going in, they've played on the same teams. You know, a lot of these guys play on the USA select teams at 17, 18 years old.
They've known each other for a long time.
Right, they've been on buses, they've been on planes together. You know,
I just understand that. I mean, the AAU thing is a big part of why things are the way they are, but also it's just like think about how it would be to be like a have-not. Like the NBA is the haves and the have-nots.
Yep.
There's the Eastern Conference, who has three teams that are championship contenders.
Right.
And then the Western Conference has like four or five that are championship contenders. And if you're not on one of those six, seven teams, you're a have-not. You're poor. You're eating syrup sandwiches every night, you know?
Syrup sandwiches.
So it's like I see why people are making the decisions they make. Like, even D-Wade going to Chicago is a good move. Like, they are going to be a decent team. I don't know how they're going to score.
Yeah.
But they're going to be all right defensively. They're going to be all right on offensively. They're going to have a good IQ team and a good overall basketball team. So we'll see.
Yeah.
It's just like it's hard because you don't want to be on the Grizzlies with no Mike Conley and no Marc Gasol and no Zach Randolph.
Right.
Like, you don't want it. Like, you don't want that. So I see why people are trying to team up.
Yeah. I mean, even at the time I said, part of me, and I, again, huge diehard Golden State Warriors fan here, but part of me wanted to see that rivalry between the Warriors and OKC moving forward. I thought that was the, you know, the rivalry to watch out for. Both teams really young, and I really wanted to watch them battle. Now, obviously, I'm happy to have KD, and never has a team or a fan base been so heartbroken and then forgot all about the heartbreak so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, this was like having your worst day fall ever, you know, dropping out of school or something, and then winning the lottery the very next day. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. But that feeling is what made everybody else feel the way they felt. Because it's like you guys really won the lottery, but you're already rich.
Right.
It's like Warren Buffett winning the Mega Lotto, Mega Lotto Plus. Like, how mad would you be?
Yeah,
if like Warren Buffett just went to a 7-Eleven in the hood and just got a $5 ticket and won $5 billion again.
Yeah,
plus
no doubt.
The money he already has. Think how mad you would be.
Sure.
So that's why everybody felt the way they felt, because the Warriors are already like in that upper echelon, and he's already a superstar. Like, he's a megastar. He's probably a Hall of Famer already.
Yeah.
So it's just like.
Yeah, I understood it, especially from other fan bases, especially from OKC's fan base. I would be frustrated too. But again, these guys, unlike every other industry that's not sports related, these guys have no choice where they play coming out of when they get drafted.
Mm-hmm.
They have really no say aside from, you know, the occasional Eli Manning, you know.
Yeah, about to say, but you can't. If you're good enough, you can leverage where you go.
Yeah, you can. You know, it's happened before.
Mm-hmm. Definitely happened before.
It does happen from time to time, but for the most part, the majority of players go where they get drafted.
Oh yeah.
And that's it, you know. And
but Eli Manning is another Eli Manning is another interesting comment about the race thing. If Eli Manning was Cam Newton did that, how do you think it would be?
Oh yeah, no, it would not have
been. Exactly.
I mean, he got some heat, but if it was Cam Newton, it would have been a totally different thing.
Yeah,
I agree.
Back to whatever.
Yeah,
that would be crazy though.
But I do think that in it's just kind of silly the way we look at these things. We apply a nobility to sports that we don't even live up to in our own standards. For example, KD went to Golden State, I'm sorry, because and he's quoted as saying he felt that he kind of hit the ceiling for his potential in OKC, that there wasn't a whole lot more room to grow as a player. He thought that Golden State was the best place for him professionally and personally. He was real interested in the stuff they have going on in Silicon Valley. And if you look at who KD's been,